Winter is coming, or at least a storm is anyway. Hey there, Rooster Teeth fans. Welcome back to the Ruby After Show here on AfterBuzz TV. Tonight, we are talking about Volume 6, Chapter 5, The Coming Storm. We're going to be breaking down the episode and giving you a really great show, so y'all should stay tuned.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Guys, I don't know about you, but it's like freezing outside.
It's really cold.
It's cold outside. It's cold in here. I'm really tired. Like, it's a day, man.
Like, it's freezing outside because it's like gently raining in Los Angeles, which means that it's like, oh, it's time to shut down completely.
It's basically snowing. For us. I mean, come on.
It's a blizzard.
LA snow.
Yeah. Must not venture out. Too cold, stay in. Hey there, Rooster Teeth fans. Welcome back to Rooster Teeth Reviews. Tonight we're talking Ruby, and let's not waste any time. Let me introduce my fantastic panel. I'm Megan Salinas, and to my left is Mark Donica.
It's me, Mark B. Donica.
And to his left, Stacey Shuttleworth.
Hello, hello.
To her left, Katie Cullen.
Hi, all my buddies.
So yeah, we are going to be keeping an eye on the hashtag RTReviews for all of you guys keeping up on Twitter. We love seeing fan art in there. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. And we've also got you guys covered on the live chat, so we cannot wait to hear what you guys have to say about the episode we're covering tonight.
Speaking of not being able to wait, I don't want to wait till Christmas. I got y'all something.
What?
For the holidays. It's small. Don't worry. But because we're on the animation channel here on AfterBuzz TV, I got everybody pins from the Rooster Teeth store. And because we all know that Katie's a freelancer, and I got myself the potato mask from Achievement Hunter. But yeah, Merry Christmas, everybody! Happy Hanukkah if you celebrate it. Happy holidays to everybody all around, and to you and yours. And I was just like, yeah, what the hell? Let's be pin crew.
Oh, thank you, Mark.
Happy days.
That's so sweet.
And now let's annoy all of our audio listeners.
Yeah, I'm gonna call all sorts of listeners.
All right, let's stop.
The
memester in me instantly died, and the audio producer came out.
Thank you.
There's
no way I can open that without being obnoxious.
Just in the center. Just over here.
And we're free.
And I'm going to do this without pinning it through the rhinestones on my shirt.
There we go.
Because there are rhinestones on my shirt, because that is how I roll.
Shout out to the audio listeners.
No, I just wanted to bring up the chat throwing a shade for our temperature comments, like Malachroma saying laughs in Wisconsin. Becca Lee saying, are we talking California cold or actual cold?
Oh, no, we're talking California cold.
Yeah, it's cold. It's like 58.
Oh, no.
And Joe Abramson saying, first time watching live.
Hi!
Welcome, Joe.
Hi! Oh, no, we fully acknowledge that California cold in Los Angeles is not cold. We totally get that, and y'all have our sympathies. So sorry. Before we get into the episode, though, again, thank you, Mark.
There you go.
Fabulous.
Thank you.
Before we get into the episode, we want to remind you guys, we're only talking about this episode.
It's really hard. It's really hard.
We have all seen next week's episode, but we're also going to be kind to the people in the chat who haven't seen it, the mm-hmm. people in the comments who haven't seen it, the people in the hashtag who haven't seen it, and, you know, Rooster Teeth's rules about sponsorship and things available to the public.
We're adhering to the community guidelines as set out by Rooster Teeth, and thus we are only discussing this episode that is currently public. So you guys want to talk about next week's episode? Keep it to yourself until then, or talk with people you already know have seen it. Because, guys, spoilers stink! I got spoiled for this episode!
So oh, you do?
I got spoiled for this episode before it was public by posts on social media. So not everyone follows the rules, but we are,
no.
And we encourage you guys to do the same.
We follow the rules, unlike some other reactors out there.
Ouch!
I mean, we're not calling them out. There's a lot of people that react to Rooster Teeth and Ruby.
True
so.
Story.
I feel like that's none of my business.
Sips tea. So, guys, please be courteous to the people in our comments section, to the people in the live chat, and to the people in our hashtag, and just generally speaking, be courteous. We love you all. You all are normally really well-behaved. So, again, job well done. You guys are the best, and we love you. So, with that out of the way, guys, let's start with Mark. What did you think of this episode?
I'm real sad because I thought the hat in the intro was indicative of something else. Well, there's a couple things. Just as an instant reaction, they could have made Neo talk. It's entirely possible. I was maybe about 45% expecting it. Really happy they didn't. That fight rivals any other big time fight because it was two evil people that don't care what rules are, yes. Which is are some of the best fights out there. And trust me, I watch professional wrestling, but I still love Lil Miss so much, and I hope this isn't the last we see of her.
Stacey,
I am so excited to see Neo's fighting style now after all of the improvements that the team has like gone through over the years. Like seeing her come back and seeing her with such an awesome sequence was great. But overall, this episode I think is one of my favorites out of any public episode yet. And just I think the way that the tension was handled in this episode, all of the little character developments that we got between several of our main characters, as well as even Neo and Cinder's little arc there, just was handled so neatly, and just you got so much detail from the smallest actions.
Katie?
There's an improv comedy group out here that does long form, and for a while they were doing a horror western called Brimstone, where the conceit is that all of the characters wind up in the same building in this little western town that used to be a bustling town until something supernatural basically burned it to the ground, and they're all stuck in this building together because there's a snowstorm outside. So I'm watching this develop and going, it's a Brimstone episode. Most people die in Brimstone episodes. Like, if there's a survivor, they are traumatized. What? So this was hitting all of my horror movie buttons, and I quite enjoyed it.
I have to agree. We get the double scoop, as it were, of Neo coming back and horror movie goodness. And it made me so happy. I've made it no secret, especially when we got introduced to the Nucklevy. I've made it no secret that I love when Rooster Teeth adds an element of horror into their stuff. So I really had a lot of fun with this episode. Not only do we get to see a fan favorite come back and come back with a lot of panache, but we also got to see the start of a horror movie, and I'm always about that. So let's go ahead and, before we talk about that character coming back, we have a quick announcement for you all.
Let's do that. AfterBuzzers, our network produces after shows for nearly all of your favorite TV shows. That's drama, reality TV, sci-fi, so much more. Professional wrestling is one of them. There's no network that works harder to serve television fans, but we need your help. We're asking that you please subscribe to one or more of our YouTube channels. By subscribing to our channels, YouTube will suggest content that's tailor-made for you, and you'll help AfterBuzz continue to grow. And if you're worried about pesky notifications, don't worry. They are optional. Now, if you did, ring that bell, then there's more of an opportunity for you to catch us live right here on AfterBuzz Animation. I almost said wrestling and sports, but hit that subscribe button now. And for this channel, check out all of other AfterBuzz channels as well. And let us know you did some in the comments, and we will shout you out on the air. But for now, thank you for being the best fans and for helping us be the ESPN of TV talk. Now, I have last week's episode up. A little surprised, not as many comments as last time, but wanted to thank Not a Troll, Hayden Flood, Shadow Angel. There's one in particular that I wanted to shout out, Hotbreaker Nick, who said, in one Brothers Grimm tale, Brunswick is the setting for a Headless Horseman tale. And so, yeah, thank you for keeping us abreast of all of those stories. Spets, Nightfall 01, Danny Costa, the Big Buddha, or the Big Buddha, they're doubling their letters, so it could be pronounced differently. Axel Kasai, Mad Dog Andrew, who asked, didn't know that furniture violence is considered a fetish. I mean, you just have to get a better imagination.
We aim to educate here on this show, on this program. So thank you all so much for commenting, and we look forward to hearing what you guys had to say about this one as well.
Mm-hmm.
Guys, Neo's back!
I love that your voice broke on that.
A little
That's
bit.
Such a good detail.
It's okay, you can shout.
You've committed to the bit.
No, I shan't. Let's go ahead. I want to get Stacey in particular. How do you feel? How did it feel seeing Neo come back?
Gosh, I miss Neo so much. you know, she was gone so long that you kind of start to forget how awesome and how interesting her character was, and just how, like, I mean, first off, her design, which is amazing, and still amazing, and just her entire attitude. Without saying a word, she expresses so much.
Yeah, while I was watching this, it occurred to me that this is the first time we're seeing Neo in the new animation software mm-hmm. that they've been using once they made that transition after volume three. And yeah, it was really great to see her appear and looking crisp and clean and just so great. It was so wonderful to see her, and yeah, to get treated to this fight and get reintroduced to her fighting style, and just the air of ease in which she moves is just something I will continually be impressed by. Mark, what did you think of this sequence?
I'm wondering if Cinder is still recovering from being frozen in frozen ice, or if she was toying with her, because Neo was able to hold her own real well in this fight. And as you mentioned, we haven't seen her in this new engine. Anytime, like with the Weiss flashback or the Yang and Ruby flash, any of the flashbacks really, it's so weird to see people in the new style with the old outfits, but it's almost as if, no, we did a time skip. Everybody gets a new outfit. And then you look at Rock Lee and you go, hey, you're fine. But aside from that, like, the beginning of that fight and seeing Roman's hat back, but one sad right here, please. But also Little Miss's reaction of, get that. Don't do that in here. This is a family restaurant. This is like Moe's family feedback. And you gotta get out and fight out in the streets, because we ain't have that mess in here. Just makes me want to see. I want, where is her story? I want, or if we get World of Remnants, she is the new narrator. But it's all like seedy underbelly stuff, and she doesn't tell us the whole truth. I love this character. Anyway, we were talking about Neo, and I made it about Little Miss again.
Oh, Little Miss is wonderful, and I want her back. I will be very, very sad if this is the last we see of her, because it would be a waste of her and her bodyguards as characters.
Agreed.
And seeing Neo back in, just in this engine, the new little details, the pronounced white streaks in the pink side of her hair, the green eyeshadow, just all of these little design details that are like, oh, that's new. I love it. And there's so many minute expressions that this engine is so good for. And it's perfect for Neo. Just, yes.
I definitely want to see Little Miss stay, because it was so great, because she was, initially, she's like, yeah, we're going to get a show in here. And it was such a joy. She's like, maybe could put away the good china.
She knows what's up.
she was popcorn dog gifting. She ran out of popcorn and then went, all right, we're done.
All right. Get out of here.
Please Clap says, Monty said that Neo was stronger than Mercury, and Cinder in this episode says Neo has gotten stronger.
Mm-hmm.
So where?
Where on the hierarchy does she fall? And I think a lot of her strength, too, also, because I feel like we've never seen Neo go full, like, use the full extent of her abilities. Because her semblance is still a mystery. But we know, based on her fight with Yang, that she is a controlled fighter. Mm-hmm. That she very much uses strategy to her advantage. And you can see it in this fight, too. She keeps their opponents on their toes, waits for them to slip up, and then uses an attack. Like, she looks for the opportune moment to attack. She's a very, very strategic fighter. It's one of those, it's cool. It's like when you see a martial artist, like a master martial artist at work, where like they barely even have to try. It's really cool. And yeah, the only time we ever saw her just straight up like, oh, I'm out, was when a maiden showed up. Mm-hmm. And sure enough, that's what puts an end to this fight, is Cinder revealing, oh, by the way, you might be stronger than you used to be, but guess what? I'm a maiden now. Maybe don't come at me.
Miss me with that.
But she brings up a good point. Like, Neo seems to have spent all this time, you know, that we've been, that we haven't seen her, blaming Cinder, of all people, for Roman's death, not Ruby, which I think is a very interesting distinction.
I wonder if Cinder didn't recruit Roman in the first place. If that wasn't a Salem recruitment, if that was a Cinder recruitment. Because if so, it was, you dragged us into this ridiculous scheme, and because of you doing that, he died. So I can see that being the case, even if she knew what had happened there. It wasn't necessarily Ruby's fault. I mean, he stopped to gloat and got eaten by a Grimm. These things do happen.
Yeah,
just a normal day, you know. Yeah.
Pretty sure he was in the middle of kicking her in the face when he got eaten.
Yeah, lack of situational awareness.
Although I would have been mad at Ruby for opening my umbrella. Like, that's what I would have been mad
that's
at.
That's actually why true. She's after her.
Nobody touches the umbrella but me.
Well, sent her flying. So what I want to ask is that Cinder makes a proposal to Neo. She's like, hey.
Congratulations.
Sorry. We're not to the shippy part of the episode yet.
I'm still learning. I'm sorry.
Mazel tov.
But she makes a proposal to Neo, a bit like, hey, let's take a minute. Let's take a beat. And, you know, let's talk about who the real enemy is. And we'll figure out a way to take down Ruby together. Simpatico. Partners. And it's hard to indicate, but Neo's at least going to hear her out. And what I want to know from you guys, I want to go around the table. Do you think Neo's actually sincere in saying, yeah, let's go ahead and go after Ruby? Or is this you're a lot stronger than I thought you'd be. I'm going to wait for my opportune moment and then stab you in the back for killing Roman.
Murder.
Stacey?
I think Neo, I mean, and we still don't know very much about her or why she was so loyal to Roman, but she is very one-track, very single-minded in that respect. So I don't know how quickly and easily she'll just be like, oh yeah, okay, let's change course.
That checks out. Yeah,
sure.
Sounds legit.
Let's go.
Mark, what do you think?
I believe you. No, I think it's column A, column B. I think it's there's somebody stronger than you. I gotta see this for myself. Because I don't think either of them have shown us their full power, their final form. And people in the chat were bringing up how different Neo in the bar looked as opposed to in the alleyway. And the comment of you've gotten stronger was that Cinder knew that the one in the bar was an illusion.
Oh.
And she was fighting an illusion the entire time.
It would explain how she appeared right the heck out of nowhere in the bar.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Mm-hmm. But I think it's got, there's also a resemblance of, if you slip up once, I'm gonna kill you in your sleep. I think one of, it is of convenience. It's like, Slitty gonna slit. I'm gonna kill whomever I damn well please. But if I could have your help to kill this one, then I kill you. Or you, but I'm gonna sit back. The two of you are gonna fight, make each other weak, and I'm gonna come up and I'm gonna stab you both in the back.
If she could,
that's what I think she is, her plan.
For sure. Just like, maybe if I'll get lucky and they'll kill each other.
Exactly.
And I'll be around to watch.
And if they don't, if they're on death's door, push them a little.
Just give them a little nudge.
Yeah. Little nudge.
Fine. Someone in chat did make a comment that Kruby evidently said that Neo is more dangerous without Roman. I can see it.
Absolutely.
I can see it.
Well, I mean, before she'd really only act on Roman's orders. So now, with no one step higher than her telling her what to do, she gets to do whatever she damn well pleases.
Mm-hmm. It's always nice when we get another Kacey Williams song. If you listen to the lyrics this one, it's, you took away the one thing that I cared about. Now it's time for retribution.
So that tells, it's probably low on the to-do list, but that tells me that there is a flashback episode of Neo and Roman somewhere.
Yes, please.
That we will hopefully get to see.
I will take one of those.
Yes, please. Put a note on the conspiracy board.
Okay.
Guys, yes. Character short.
What if all of Ruby Chibi is a Jacob's Ladder scenario? All that Roman Torchwick is seeing before the moment before his death. Like, all of Ruby Chibi.
I like the Nora idea better.
That's fair. That's fair. I'm just throwing it out there. Take that theory and do with it what you will. Or maybe just specifically all of the Roman Neo moments in Ruby Chibi. All right. Guys, before we go ahead and switch gears and talk about our boys and girls in this episode, I want to talk to you guys really quickly about iTunes. Folks, thank you so much to everybody who's gone to iTunes to rate, subscribe, leave a comment. We love hearing from you. And this is the best way to let our producers know that you guys like the show that we're putting on. Helps keep the lights on here, helps keep us at these fun desks. And we like giving you guys shout-outs whenever we do. I don't know. Do we have any new ones this week?
Nope, I just looked.
Okay, cool. Don't let that discourage you. Sometimes it takes iTunes a couple days to put them up. For whatever reason, it takes them a couple days to process stuff. And also, sometimes the sorting system is just ridiculous.
Oh, they borked it. It's totally borked right now.
So if you guys don't want yours to get lost in the shuffle, or if you're a member of our international audience, go ahead and take a screen cap of it, put in the hashtag RTReviews. We want to give you guys the shout-out that you are due, because we love you, and you all are the best. So thank you so, so much. Okay, guys, let's go over to the horror movie.
You've just been waiting for this.
So the Scooby Gang comes to an old abandoned farmhouse, and it's haunted by Old Man Jenkins.
I would like to put the call out for Oscar Scrappy-Doo art.
Why would you do that to that poor boy?
The way he walked in the door with the cane held up like a baseball bat, utterly terrified. This is the only kid who knows he's in a horror movie.
He's Scrappy-Doo, and if anybody has seen the movies and knows the logical conclusion of Scrappy-Doo, it makes sense with Oscar.
In my mind, he was actually more of the Shaggy because he was so overtly scared, and Zwei is Scooby.
Okay, I just want to hear him say Zoink Zwei and then Zwei carry him off.
Aww.
Yes.
Perfect. But it doesn't take long, actually, you know, after breaking into this farmhouse, nobody's there. So they do, of course, the most logical thing to do in any horror movie scenario. Let's split up, gang.
However, I do love the whole, I'll go make another circuit, nobody else goes anywhere alone. Like, at least we're doing this in pairs.
Yeah.
You were saying, Stacey?
Oh, just a foolproof plan.
Yeah.
It's great. It's
going to
work out.
Bad ever happened to anybody who split up.
Ever.
Well, what we find here, there are a couple things before we really get into, like, the meat of the different sort of pairings that we get. And the first is that upon an initial sweep of the house, a couple dead bodies are found in the bed, and it's like that all over the house. There are dead bodies. It's as Crow puts it, it's like they went to sleep and just never woke up. And there's another point a little later in the episode where Blake makes sort of an estimation that there's a well in the middle of town. Maybe it was a water contamination sort of situation. And everybody keeps perpetually coming back to the refrain, I'm tired. I'm just tired.
I don't know what I'm saying. I don't like this place.
Yeah. Do you know the animation? Their eyes changed.
Yeah, it's
dulled out, completely empty eyes.
Did they do the anime dull eye thing?
Oh, boy, yeah.
And the delivery as well. Mm-hmm. Just the vocal delivery. You can just hear the, I just want to take a nap.
Let's just sleep. So I believe we can say, with much confidence, day 5 crossover confirmed. We're going to see a scruffy looking blonde dude and a little black haired kid walking up and being like, hey, you guys want drugs?
So we've got all of the drugs.
Yeah,
you guys do dust?
Let's get Walker. Let's get Walker in Ruby some way, shape, or form.
But we're about to have a big change.
did all these studios go, oh, Sleeping Well Dead, that's a good we're going to use that in Ruby. We're going to take that. Like, we're still waiting for confirmation of Day 5, Season 3, for goodness sakes. Don't use that concept. Don't steal their gimmick.
Go ahead. I was just saying, another note on the conspiracy board. Dead sleeping people in Ruby, Day 5, Season 3 confirmed.
Sure, let's do that.
Standing by Life in chat makes a comment, first time seeing decomposing corpses on the show. And this stood out to me, and I really appreciated this detail, is that they've been through so much, they fought so many monsters, things have been awful for them, but seeing a dead body is still a new one, and still very much an occasion to freak out. And it's one of those things where, you know, they're competent, they're huntresses, they've got this. And then you see Weiss just lose her noise over surprise bed corpses, and go, oh yeah, they're still kids. They're still teenagers, and they have been thrown headfirst into this insane, hellish battle centuries in the making. Like, it was one of those moments where you step back and go, oh, context. Right.
I think it also... Oh, Stacey, were you going to chime in? Okay. I think it also says a little bit about the different levels of experience that each member of Team Ruby has gone through. Because, yeah, Weiss has... Obviously, she's been around people who have died. But Team, you know, Ranger was the only kind of people to actually see people die right in front of them. Ruby's seen people die right in front of her. Weiss, I don't think, and same with a lot of the other people on Ruby's team, I don't think they've had that same experience. So Ruby, you know, being just the emotionally sort of empathetic person that she is, and with the level of emotional intelligence that she has, knows kind of when to, like, hey, chime in and go, hey, I know what I can do to make this better.
There's a, yeah, I agree with that, but I think there's also a bit of a difference from watching somebody die to happening upon a dead body.
That is literally what I was just going to say.
Yeah, a little bit of a difference.
Yes. And it's interesting that our first instance of graphic death in this series is peaceful corpses just in bed. Just they went to sleep.
It was a very Walking Dead moment.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I'll take your word for it.
Carolyn Grant in chat said it was literally Sleepy Hollow. Pun you approve of. Congratulations, Carolyn. That doesn't happen often.
I appreciate it when you give it the horror movie spin.
Woo.
I really do. So yeah, let's they split up, and let's talk about what I think might be a contributing factor and how much you love this episode, Stacey. Let's talk about Blake and Yang.
God, do we have to?
Wow, rude.
So yeah, Stacey, you mentioned that this has been one of your favorite episodes to date. Not just this season, but Ruby in general. So let's talk about that. What about, was it this scene in particular?
You know what? It was not entirely due to this. However, this was a very interesting time too. No, the whole mystery of the episode is what largely contributes to it. But I think we get another really interesting moment with Blake and Yang. And Yang especially, kind of these past few episodes, she's been having a really hard time. And seeing Yang demoralized, I mean, I know we had a very low point for her last season, but seeing it continue this long, and in such a different way, she's no longer disappointed and upset with herself. Now she's just more kind of a vague hopelessness that kind of just permeates everything she does, and to see how that plays off of different characters is kind of heartbreaking.
Yeah.
But her interactions with Blake especially, and now Blake, who is falling all over herself trying to make this right, we're still building up to something, to some kind of confrontation, I imagine.
Katie, what did you think of this scene?
Oh, that just, I was agreeing with that. What I loved is that with their conversation with, I've been seeing things, it's okay, it happens, I'm not going to run away again. Like, it was all the right things right up until the end, and then I'll protect you. Just, that was that one last Jenga block that sent the whole thing crashing down.
Oh, Blake, you were doing so well, and then you tripped at the finish line.
And she thought that was what Yang needed to hear, and much of it was, but instead of, we'll do this together, it turned it into, I'll protect you, and in that moment made Yang someone who needed to be protected, when she is trying so, so hard not to be that.
It pushed her right back into that place of feeling helpless and weak.
Yeah.
Instead of the people around her recognizing that she is one of the team and she can hold her own and work together with them, it was, I got this. You will be protected. And for Yang, that's not going to feel good.
This is some road to hell good intentions right here.
It was also Prototype Destroyer says, I think Blake still feels responsible for the fall of Beacon. So it's both of their inadequacies, like, facing off. I think there's also a bit that Yang still doesn't understand about Blake, because we got a lot of other people spending time with Blake in the past couple of seasons. But that line was the equivalent of Michael Scott rolling up to Dunder Mifflin, listening to Just Dance, turning it off, and going, "It's Britney, bitch." It was just like, what are you doing? Because there are episodes of The Office that I didn't watch. I just had my hand over. It's like, I can't watch this man do this thing. It was such a stupid thing to do.
And such secondhand embarrassment.
Yeah, it's like, you're not good at body language at all. You don't understand. You don't get it. There needs to be an episode, another 26-minute episode of the two of them just talking.
Yes,
because all of the traveling that they did in between seasons, they haven't had a talk about. Yeah, so I met up with my friend Ilya. She was with the White Fang for a little bit, and Adam was kind of a D-bag. But like, they haven't had these basic conversations, and just for the sake of everybody's mental health, let's just make an episode where everybody just talks it out for a half an hour. That's the finale, is everybody goes, listen, we put it off way too long. Let's just talk.
I want Oscar talking with Maria. And just having a nice little, just like...
Do you want cookies, young man?
Yes, maybe.
Totally imagine they finally make it to Atlas, and Ironwood has just completely had a change of heart. He's like, okay, we're going to have a sharing circle. I'm sensing a lot of hostility here, kids.
If that's what Maria has been brought into the show, to just be like, y'all need to talk to each other.
There is too much tension. You need to handle it, all right? I am not moving another step.
I am too old and too cold to deal with this right now.
Hashtag old and cold.
For me, yeah, this was a great character building moment for the both of them. It's, and you know, again, the shipping fodder is there if you want to look at it that way. But at the same time, like, even if you remove this scene from that, like, these are two friends who are trying their best in a really bad situation and really trying hard to make amends. And especially after what may or may not be a PTS flashback, because Adam did just pop up magically.
He's been doing that. He just burst out of the snow, like daisies.
What's interesting is that if he is following them, like, the whole reason they needed to come into the farmhouse was because, like, they were going to freeze to death if they stayed outside. So is he just, like, standing out by a tree, slowly freezing to death, and, like, we cut back in the morning, and he's just frozen, like Jack Torrance in The Shining?
I was initially going to make a Michael Myers joke about, like, he's only there when the camera is looking out the window, but if we cut away and cut back, he's gone.
I mean, that's kind of what he's doing right
solid,
now.
Little Batman-ing.
Little bit.
Yep. That'll be a chibi episode. Him standing in the snow, staring through the window. I hope Yang's looking.
Is the camera looking? Whoosh!
Looks like they're roasting s'mores in the fireplace.
Commit to the bit. Commit to the bit. I love that we're just writing the next season of Ruby Chibi here.
You know where to find us. It's where you can send the check.
Call us. DM us on Twitter. For me, yeah, it was the devastation of that last moment of I'll protect you. Oh, that cut me right to the bone, because there's like nothing more condescending than one grown person talking to another fully capable grown person and saying, I'll protect you. It's like, oh, God dang it.
There's anything else.
Anything else. There's one more moment that's going to happen. That's a small prediction. Just rule of threes. We had the thing on the train. We have this. There's going to be one more thing where it's going to be, you know what? We need to talk about this.
Yes.
That's going to be the breaking point.
See, I'd love for the rule of threes thing to be, holy cow, it actually is Adam now. Like, the first two were hallucinations, and the third one is, we're seeing things! Oh no, he's actually there! Here we go!
They're like, wait, have you been following us this whole time? What do you mean? I literally just got here, but since I'm here, I am going to kill you.
But I mean, yes! I will follow you! Spooky! And so, they switch his voice actor to be Blaine.
Yes.
Spooky!
Speaking of spooky, we get...
We already talked about Bumblebee.
We get Weiss and Ruby looking for some food in the house, and they're perusing. I love the little Harry Potter moment of Weiss just taking her sword and, like, lighting up the room like a wand in Harry
Solid
Potter.
Solid
Lumos.
Yep. It's Leviosa. But we have a really dark moment here. And, you know, in an episode where they come across corpses, like, I would argue that an even darker moment is coming across basically sort of the wine cellar? Not quite cellar.
The pre-cellar.
Yeah. The prelude to the cellar. Yeah.
The bar area and then the cellar.
Yeah, basically where they're keeping all their wine, and Ruby just, it gets this heartbreaking look on her face of just, maybe we should keep this quiet. I don't know how my uncle is handling this situation. Maybe it's best if we just keep this door closed. It's such a mature, but also because she's such an innocent character, sad moment because she fully comprehends the reality of his alcoholism. Mm-hmm. It was just a really insightful moment, and it's one of those things where it's like, oh yeah, she is actually wise beyond her years.
Mm-hmm. I didn't pick up on this the first time I watched the episode, and I think someone else pointed it out to me somewhere along the line. The idea that Weiss understands because she, too, has an alcoholic adult figure in her life.
I didn't even consider that.
That's because we've never seen Weiss Wine Mom. We know she's out there drinking, but we've never actually seen her on screen, so it doesn't stick as immediately in our memories. But yeah, Weiss of all people would understand that because of her experiences with her mom.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Oh God, I hope Crow and Mrs. Shimi never meet.
I want the train wreck. I want it so bad.
They'll meet on ChristianMingle.com.
Plenty of fish.
Yeah, plenty of fish.
Plenty of dust.
Well, after this, the farmer date duck or whatever that one is
called. Farmers only.
Oh, yeah. No. Well, because the Schnee family are death farmers, because we've established that dust is the magical remains of the previous earth. And this because they spent a couple of days on a farm.
Oh, I was thinking like winos only or something like that.
I don't know if that'd be approved by the iTunes terms of service.
It's okay, you can get anything on Google Play.
Alcoholics Anonymous. Oh wait, no, that's something else. That is entirely.
That is not a dating service.
They'd be very disappointed.
It would be a great sort of catfish scenario in order to get them to an intervention.
Okay, all right, you came through at the end, because starting any sentence with "it would be a great catfish scenario" usually doesn't have great results. No. Megan, I'm worried about you. No, but then you came in.
It's great when you're in the audience. It's not great when you're part of it.
Stuck the landing.
Thank you. But you know what we should be worried about? Hmm. What's in the cellar? What's in the basement?
This is some full-on Evil Dead. I'm waiting for someone to just kind of poke the doors up and go, "You're all going to die tonight."
You're all going to die down here.
We're gonna get you.
Swallow your soul. Swallow your soul. Swallow your soul.
I really hope it's not like Chucky or anything, because that's my least favorite, and I would immediately pull me out.
He's too campy for you.
No, I'm terrifying.
Oh, it's even the doll thing.
Even though Chucky technically appeared on WCW with RoboCop.
He did.
I'm very happy you know that. Still can't do it.
John Johns in chat says Crow and the Mama Schnee ship should be called Make It a Double.
Oh, that's really good.
Sold.
Mic drop.
That's painful, but I love it.
I saw the chains on the cellar and I immediately knew. I was just like, there's something down there.
Oh, yeah.
And yeah, you don't even have to wait for the ending of the episode where you just get that little bump. The second you see chains on there, you're like, there's something here, guys.
We all knew. Cartano says, it's Quartermaster's sex dungeon.
Look, that was actually the most horrifying thing.
If anybody's watching Achievement Hunter, it's probably a whole bunch of ghost cats.
Yes!
The White Fang lieutenant breaks out with the chainsaw sword and shotgun. Thank you, Skyheart. What was his name? Terrence?
Something like that.
Groovy. Terry?
Terry. I think it was Terry. Terry. It might have been Terry.
Yeah, groovy.
Groovy. Yeah, when you saw that bump, what did you immediately think? Let's start with Stacey.
Honestly, I was already kind of reeling from this episode. I honestly, after this episode, I went into a deep dive mythology search to try and figure out what it could be. I mean, between everything we got from just, they went to sleep and never woke up, everyone's starting to feel tired. So I was like, all right, sleeping, gods of sleep, just looking into everything that I could. So I figured it was some kind of hypnos-like creature. But also, I remember from the intro, there is a scene that looks like it takes place in a basement area. Oh. Now, the creatures that we see there are way more Hydra-like.
It's the grim hands that Salem used to attack Hazel.
Yeah.
Which is terrifying.
But then it grabs Crow and...
Yeah. Well, no, there's one where Ruby's fighting.
Yeah. Oh. Yes, they grab Crow and then you get a fade and then they're going after Ruby.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, what looks mm-hmm. like a basement.
Yeah, so I was like, all right, this is probably... We haven't gotten that scene yet. Is that what's happening?
That was exactly where my mind went to. I was like, it's happening.
I love the reference. And Malachrome was saying, don't dead, open inside. Cam Griffin saying, you'll float too, Ruby. You'll float too.
Don't you want your balloon, Miss Rose?
Oh boy. God, I don't. No grim clowns, please.
No, thank you.
No.
Oh my gosh. Could you imagine a grim Pennywise?
Why would you do that?
Grim clown.
Because now we're going to, that's going to be in the damn hashtag.
I need it.
No, you don't.
I do, though.
I want to see a grim clown.
I need it.
It's going to be awful. I want it in my life.
I want those nightmares. I will accept them willingly.
I don't want it.
For Mark's sake.
For my sake.
Any of our artist friends down there, what if it was...
You're going to make it worse, aren't you?
What if it was the grim clown fighting RoboCop? Would that make it easier?
Only if RoboCop was also a grim.
Atria says drowsy grim, like the Pokemon.
Oh, that... Like, there was that episode. There was that episode where,
terrible episode.
No, accidentally hypnotized a bunch of kids into thinking they were Pokemon. That was weird.
Hypnos nap time.
There's a lot of terrifying Pokemon descriptions. Like when Drifloon and Drifblim started coming into Pokemon Go, I was like, oh, look at this cute little balloon to my wife. She was like, oh, that's adorable. It's like, yeah, if they find children that wander away from their families, they pull them into the sky.
She went, that's...
They kidnap them.
And excellent catch.
Like, Pumpkaboo is the soul of a child who got lost in the woods and was never found. Like, there is some effed up Pokemon.
Totally normal, come on.
Go ahead and put this out there. What kind of Pokemon would you guys like to see a grim version of?
Oh, that's
Giratina.
That's pretty cool.
Ooh. Might as well go with Satan himself.
Put that in the hashtag below. So, guys, we are running towards the end of our scheduled time here. Oh. We've all seen the next episode, but I feel like we can still go ahead and make some predictions for what's to come, since we're basically running out of material from the intro. So let's go ahead and talk about some predictions.
And now, you're after Buzz. Stop it. Stop it. Cut it out. Just tell you, stop. I don't like spooky because I'm very punchy.
You'll float too. You'll float too.
I already know I don't float. That's why I don't go into pools, but that's beside the point. Anyway.
I think overall, in terms of season wise, I'm going to stick with my prediction about Neo. I definitely think that this is an alliance where at the first opportune moment, she will stab Cinder in the back and be like, cool, Roman, you've been avenged. Neo out. And that'll be the first time she speaks, is just Neo out.
Umbrella drop.
Pretty much. Mark, what do you think the rest of the season holds?
Could you imagine if the reason why Neo hasn't been around is because she figured out Roman wasn't dead.
Ooh.
And is now playing up the part so that Roman can come back. It's not probable because Gray is very busy. And has already been like, he's dead. Deal with it. But, yeah.
That means nothing.
Yeah, no, death. No body, no confirmation. We just saw him get chewed up a bunch. That does... He's probably dead.
Well, Cinder came back, okay?
Where is my goddamn hat?
Yes. Well, anyway. I want more Little Miss. It's hard to talk. I wonder... Well, let me say this. I wonder how long we're going to spend on the farm. If the farm is a place where we have this opportunity to do all of this character work. If this is where, all right, people are pairing off, people are staying together. There's a storm. If there's a storm outside, we can't do anything. There's no chutes and ladders. There's no eels and escalators. There's no nothing. We just have to talk. We already know that Maria is going to be reading, but what
Oscar
else is going to happen?
Really didn't sound enthused about him reading.
He's not about that.
He's a farm boy, probably illiterate.
I just hope that we're not on this farm for as long as The Walking Dead stayed on the farm in season 2. So as long as we're not here for the next 8 episodes, that's fine by me. Stacey?
I have to agree with that, even though I think that the farm is a really interesting place, and I do think that the farm could make for a full arc that lasts us at least a couple more episodes. However, I do think we have a lot to do, so I would not be surprised if we're moving on sooner rather than later. Although it would be interesting to see the farm kind of become a home base, kind of a place to go back to.
Mm. Interesting, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I like that idea.
I mean, no one else is using it.
Maybe what happened, they brought up contaminated water supply. What if there's a walker at the bottom of that well?
It's a crossover. It's a day 5 Walking Dead crossover.
At the very least, can we start the episode with maybe them putting the bodies to rest?
That's not a bad idea.
As just a nice gesture.
Also horrible for these poor children.
No. Oh, jeez. No.
Well, Crow doing it.
Oh, that's much better than, wow, gosh.
Katie, any thoughts on where we're going?
Speaking of Crow, I think we're going to get a betrayal by the end of the season.
Mm.
He has been handling this super poorly. I don't know if he, as a person, has the emotional tool set to turn it around for himself and to be able to handle it better. From what we've seen of Crow, I sincerely doubt it. So I would not be surprised if he ollies out by the end of the season. I think he will wait long enough to get the kids he cares about into Atlas, into the care of another or more responsible adult, as it were. And I would not be surprised if he just disappears. I don't know if he's going to full-on go to Salem, or if he'll try to find Raven, or if he will try to find himself, but I don't think we'll be seeing him for a chunk of time by the end of the season or after this season.
Probably because they'll just kill Crow.
Ooh,
or that.
Oh, no.
Find himself in the bottom of a 6-foot hole.
Aww. Or at the bottom of a bottle.
Something. His alcoholism will be the death of him.
Oh, gosh. That would be a very, very dark turn for this show to take.
Really would be.
We've addressed it.
A little bit.
Well, on that happy note.
You asked for this.
I did.
You gave me clowns. I gave you death by alcoholism.
Which one is scarier?
The tete-a-tete.
I'll take the clown.
Good. Take it and get it the hell away from me.
Put it in the hashtag. Put it in the hashtag.
I already did.
On that note, Katie.
Really?
Where?
Cam sent a picture of him as a clown.
Nice. Yes. Katie, where can people go if they want to keep up with you?
You can follow me all over the social medias as well as on YouTube and Twitch at Kiaxet. That is K-I-A-X-E-T. If you like reaction videos of Rooster Teeth stuff, they live on that YouTube channel, as does the Overwatch podcast I'm on The Point.
Guys, I'm Stacey Shuttles. You can find me all over the web at Stacey Shuttles. You can also find me over at Twitch TV at InventoryFullPT, where I and Mark stream throughout the week, as well as a couple other streamers.
Mm-hmm.
We're playing some fun games, so check us out there.
Smash is coming out this week. I'm going to be streaming that. I've streamed 3 days this week. WWE Today, Monday was all of the Spider-Man DLC that's out so far, and so we've highlighted those. If you don't have them and want to see the story, head over to Inventory Full of PT and the highlights, and you'll be able to see them there. And Sunday, I played a whole bunch of Sonic Mania with no history of Sonic. Like, I didn't grow up with Sonic, so playing Sonic Mania was really interesting. There's a really offensive level in it, but yeah, we're gonna be there. I'm The only thing I could say is please follow me on Twitter at Mark B. Donaghy, because I'm doing something really cool this weekend, and I want you to be a part of it. Make sure to head to tpublic.com/theroosterteam. That's where you can get all of our merchandise. There's a sale tonight through midnight, so check that out, and hopefully we'll have some news. We're planning on having new stuff there soon, so thank you very much, and follow everybody at The Rooster Team.
Get some holiday shopping done. And I'm Megan Salinas. You guys can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at The Menguin. That's T-H-E-M-E-N-G-U-I-N. I also do a Lost retrospective podcast called No Love Lost. And guys, we are going to have some fun special guests coming up. So please check that out. Thank you guys all so, so much for watching. And
dust you later. Did it. Nailed it.
Yeah. Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.